Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm EQMM's editor, Janet Hutchings. This month's podcast is by a writer whose work crosses genre borders. She's currently nominated for a Best Short Story Spur Award from the Western Writers of America for the story she reads for our podcast series this month. Here is Charlotte Hinger, a novelist and inductee to the Colorado Authors Hall of Fame, reading her story Lizzie Noel from the November-December 2022 issue of EQMM.
The glittery little floozy burst through the door of the over-hours cafe like she was fleeing the gates of hell, or her pimp, more likely. Teresa Wainwright had every reason to recognize her kind immediately, but she didn't want trouble, no telling who might come looking for this one. She gave a final polish to a stainless steel napkin holder and scornfully studied the little whore as she swiveled onto the nearest stool. A small woman, eyes ringed with straying mascara, she wore hot pants and scuffy mid-thigh leather boots and a stained, lacy see-through blouse that needed a few extra buttons. Brittle, white blonde hair piled on top of her head, chipped, dried blood-black nails, a lot lizard, a filthy, diseased thing. As Teresa silently handed the woman a menu, her hands trembled at this dismal living reminder of a life she'd left behind. The woman had to have come from the cesspool across the street, where all the truckers parked now, bought their drugs, and she knew all too well what else. The drover's dream looked perfect, brand new. The end place. Chock full of chrome gadgets and nasty videos and little LED lights to pimp their trucks and trailers, an ATM and an internet kiosk, unlike Teresa's run-down little diner. The drover's dream throbbed with 24-hour activity. Parking there overnight was just asking for trouble. Not just women banging on a cab in the middle of the night asking drivers if they wanted a date, but men getting knocked in the head for the ready cash most of them carried. Dumb sons of bitches, she thought. It was a wonder most of them weren't dead. Teresa turned to take the woman's order, then her heart fluttered as she heard the familiar skunk in a rat trap PU pattern from the deep porn of the old Peterbilt as it pulled a possum belly into the lot. Their signal. Her signal. She turned and threw out the old coffee and put on a fresh pot. She wouldn't put on his food till he came to side. He was always made her to point but let him to order first. Like she understood it was a man's prerogative to change his mind if he wanted. She wanted, God knew how she wanted in the depths of her very soul, for him to know she wasn't a pushy woman. She wouldn't be no trouble at all. He was interested, she could tell. Didn't he always give that jaunty little whistle just for her? She eyed the little strumpet whose elbows were braced on the counter, her lowered head resting in her splayed fingers. Teresa decided the woman could just wait while she dashed back into her living quarters. She looked into the mirror, then tucked the graying strands of red hair under the net. She dabbed another coat of blue shadow across her eyes, sagging eyelids, then reached for the little container of blush. No help for the little lines around her thinning lips. It was hard to touch up old skin that was hating like flowers into the fall. There were minute discolorations, uneven sags, distortions. Not at all a reflection of what she felt inside. She turned and walked back through the front. She ignored the curious quick glance from the blonde. He should be coming through the door any time now, any time. In the pulsing neon from across the street, she saw him hunker down in the grease-stained lot. He pressed his old logbook cover against his chest and read toward a small calico cat, too old to be a kitten. Cattle bawled from the bull rack. The pungent odor of ammonia and manure wafted through the light rain. Rob DeKalb was a large man who still wore a battered Stetson long after all the other bull haulers had switched to build seed caps. Deep-chested, deep-voiced, his eyes twinkled with good humor, but there was a wariness about him, and Teresa had noticed it right off. Despite sharing redneck jokes and catcalls and gruff camaraderie of the road, he was a do-gooding old cowboy who rode for the brand, born a century too late. Would have been at his best as a drover 100 years ago, risking all to get the critters to market just because it was his job. Teresa knew all about him. She was an authority on men. No one knew a man's heart like an ex-working girl. She swallowed. She was lucky to be alive, have food, this place, when most didn't live at all back when she had been of the life. Now it was hard, nearly impossible for the women to see 40, let alone be heading toward 50 like she was, but she'd done it, by God. She'd gotten out in time with a little money saved, enough to make a down payment on the over hours when the previous owner had given up just 2 months after the drover's dream went in across the road. "I can't compete," Miss Bird had complained. Teresa had been waiting tables there for over 2 years, waiting, thinking about how to do things better, smarter, faster. She brought the down payment to Ms. Bird the next morning after she hung the for sale sign. They both thought each other fools. Teresa immediately fired all the help and did all the cooking, cleaning, and waiting tables herself. She took an online accounting course and learned to cope with the bookwork and government forms. She watched Rock stroke the cat's head, and moved by his tenderness, went back tears. Her Rock, granite on the outside, jello on the inside, a true gentleman. No kicking of cats for Rock to kelp, no smart mouth cracks to old women shuffling him for the handicap parting, no blue jokes to old waitresses. He pushed through the door. His bulk, his voice seemed to take up the whole diner. They were good friends by now. He had been coming here since before Teresa started waiting tables, and he kept on coming after she bought it. About a year ago, he had become quieter, more guarded. As his huge hands curled around the coffee mug, he noticed he was no longer wearing his wedding band. Then, like now, it was just past Thanksgiving, and when someone played Blue Christmas, he looked down at the counter as though he'd been bludgeoned with a billy club. A muscle leaped in his jaw. He tossed several dollars on the counter and left abruptly. When he came back through after New Year, she had sense enough to talk spring things. She scowled as the blonde snapped back to life, but she would take the little floozy's order after she tended to Rock. "Blue Ann," Teresa called cheerfully as he came inside and eased onto the stool, filling the diner with the scent of dampened denim and leather. Her heart fluttered. She set the cup of coffee before him, not bothering to hide the naked adoration on her face. "God, I hurt," he announced, managing to sound cheerful, matter-of-fact rather than complaining. Like he was confiding to his wife after coming home from a long, hard day. Teresa laughed sympathetically. "Bet it's not your feet, like me." "Nope, my back. Too many hours on the road." Rock glanced at the blonde, flushed, and quickly turned his eyes back to the menu, as though he didn't already know it by heart. Teresa was suddenly mindful of the woman's existence and walked over to her. She removed the pad from her apron pocket, her eyes cold as a snake's. "Take your order."
"Oh, I don't want nothing. I just want to get out of the rain for a minute."
She seemed dazed or doped, probably numb with some kind of a downer. Teresa glanced warily at Rock, who was carefully not looking at the woman. He reached into his jeans pocket and pulled out a pocket knife and began cleaning his nails, examining his spread fingers. "You can't stay here," Teresa said sharply. She pointed to a sign, "No loitering." The woman's jaw worked. Her eyes flew open with panic.
"I can't go back. Can't. I ain't got no place to go, lady."
Teresa stiffened, and Rock swiveled slowly on his stool, his body tense, his voice motionless.
He hurt me. I can't go back."
"Save it for the law, sister." Teresa turned and walked toward the telephone.
"Please, I've got to think of the baby."
Rock glanced at her quickly, then snapped his knife shut and shoved it back into his pocket. Teresa quietly put the receiver back on the cradle. Christ, she thought. Christ on a crutch. She'd heard Rock's intake of breath, saw his face when he reached for the phone. She thought of the cat, the rattly little cat. Rock, stooping down on the rain-soaked pavement. Neon blinked against the window. Wrong move. Wrong move. With this single, silent, tender, tough man whose heart beat in time with the jukebox, senses stoked by country DJs playing old-timey heartbreak music that did his crying for him, kept him raw, aching. Oh, she'd noticed, all right. Noticed the songs he punched in. Hank Williams, Loretta Lynn, even some of the god-awful early songs of Kitty Wells that made a body want to throw herself under a truck. Wrong move. She slowly let out her breath. "Oh, honey," Teresa said weakly.
"Don't make me go back."
Huge eyes, blue eyes, pointed chin, lashes stiff with junk, a tattoo snaked up her arm through the filthy white nylon blouse. "Well," Teresa said, sneaking a look at Rock, "well now." He still had not spoken. "Reckon you can stay here till you figure out what to do. After you rest up, I could use a little extra help." Teresa was rewarded with a swift, approving look from Rock. "What's your name, honey, seeing as how we're going to be roommates?"
"Lizzie. Lizzie Noel."
She slumped suddenly and started to fall off the stool, but Rock butts by her side in a flash. "I'd better call 911, Teresa mumbled. "Help me carry her to the back room. We'll lay her on my bed until the ambulance gets here."
"No," the girl mumbled, rousing. "No, don't do that. He'll find me if he checks emergency room. Please, I ain't had nothing to eat all day, that's all."
"The bastard," muttered Rock, "the lousy bastard." He carried the woman back to Teresa's living quarters and gently eased her onto the bed. "She sure as hell won't have any health insurance," he mumbled. His face tight with worry, he stood in the doorway and stared at the little waif. Teresa stood beside Lizzie, her arms folded across her chest. There was plenty she could point out if she had a mind to. That the woman had looked at the Christmas tree right before she came up with the name, like it had just come to her with the blink of the lights. Oh, there was lots of things she would like to point out to this man. Like little Lizzie here wasn't exactly the Virgin Mary. Hell, he knew that already. But most men were suckers around Christmas, and the next thing she knew, the little tramp would be trying to pull off some kind of note in room at the end bullshit, and this man was just dumb enough to fall for it. Next thing she knew, Lizzie Noel would be installed in his sleeper like she was some kind of visiting royalty, eating in truck stops, flipping DVDs into the little TVs all the drivers had in their berths. Better than she'd ever had in her sorry no-count life. Teresa was the one who belonged in that sleeper, riding around, seeing the country. She couldn't keep the over-hours afloat forever. She had to nip this in the bud, headed off at the pass. She needed time to think. You need food, good food, rest, someone looking after you for a while, Teresa said firmly. A little exercise, not too much, just a little. Stay here for a while, honey.
Oh, ma'am, I don't want to put you out.
If there was any question as to whether she had struck the right tone, done the right thing, her reservations vanished when she saw the look of amazement on Rock's face.
That's mighty fine of you, Teresa, he said quietly. Mighty fine.
She trembled. It was the least I can do. Her eyelashes fluttered.
Just the same, he said gruffly.
She followed him out of the back room into the cafe. Reckon I've been off duty long enough, Rock said. Better check the cattle and head on out. But you haven't eaten.
Never mind. I've lost my appetite.
Embarrassed then, he reached for his wallet. He pulled out two $100 bills and handed them to Teresa.
If there's anything she needs, here's a little to help her out. Don't know what she's going to do about hospital costs.
Teresa stared at the cash. She looked at Rock, and something passed between them. Like they wanted to do the best for a daughter they'd never had. Like they were co-conspirators. He started to push open the glass door, then turned and closed the space that separated them. He put his hand on her shoulder and gave it a squeeze. Her heart stopped. They had never touched before.
This is mighty fine of you, Teresa. I mean it.
Giddy with joy, she shyly looked at the tile floor. She slowly lifted her head.
It wasn't nothing, she said. Anybody else would do the same thing. Can't throw that poor little thing back up on the street. And the baby, he said softly. The baby.
Belle made a startling recovery. She was young, thought Teresa. Young bodies could snap back like that. Little bit of protein, few vitamins. But she made the mistake of telling her about the $200, and Lizzie asked for it at once, demanded it, pointed out that she needed it to pay for her first medical appointment. Lizzie razzled off in Teresa's old Mustang and came back 12 hours later, drunk as a skunk, her makeup smeared, her color high, and her arms full of packages. She pulled out dangly plastic earrings that changed color in the light, and a foxy little blonde hairpiece streaked with pink curls. No baby clothes. How did the medical appointment go? Teresa asked coldly.
Well, funny thing about that, Grandma. Would you believe the old bastard wouldn't even talk to me without no medical insurance? Crying shame, that's what it us is and ought to be a law.
Teresa's cheeks flamed.
Grandma, the bitch had called her Grandma.
You don't need a medical doctor to know you shouldn't be drinking.
Everyone knows that.
No, Lizzie moaned.
You don't mean it. Well, my little He-Man just loves Bloody Marys, Bloody Lizzies, actually, Virgin Lizzies to some folks.
She patted her tummy and reached in her new purse. She pulled out a pack of no-filter Camels and a new rhinestone lighter.
Little He-Man smokes, too.
She lit the cigarette, inhaled deeply, and blew a cloud of smoke in Teresa's face.
You little bitch, Teresa said softly. You goddamn little whore. Granny Tessie, you can't mean it. What would the great big Fancy think if you heard you say such cruel things to his little Lizzie?
Teresa's head whirled. her stomach surged. Then they both heard the rap-rap-rap of Rock's Jake brake as he pulled into the lot. Lizzie was out the door in a flash. The little cat came out of nowhere again. Rock bent down and stroked its fur, and Lizzie flew over and knelt beside him. She scooped up the cat in her arms and snuggled it under her chin. Adorable, just adorable, Teresa thought savagely. Rock looks smitten. Lizzie's breasts brushed up against him as she bent over and tenderly played the cat back out on the ground. Her young high breast thrust against her blouse, her cute little derriere thrust out at just the right angle. The man would have been made of stone not to notice. Then Lizzie took his arm and preened and chattered as they strolled toward the cafe. Teresa whirled around and put on a fresh pot of coffee. She had never seen Rock's face so alive, so full of smiles. They came inside, and quick as a flash, Lizzie snatched up the order pad from Teresa and stood before Rock, pencil in hand, stood in Teresa's rightful place, like a child playing grown-up, waiting to take his order. "It's on the house," Lizzie said softly. "Ain't that right, Granny Stacy?" Teresa's soul lurched. "She told me that the money came from you. I want you to know I spent it all right away for diapers and blankets and things I figured a late baby night need." The lying little bitch, Teresa thought with amazement, remembering the vodka, the camels, the trinkets. "So all right," Rolf said gruffly. "Glad to help out. How did the doctor appointment go?"
"It didn't," she said. "He wouldn't see me without insurance."
Lizzie dabbed at her eyes with Kleenex.
"But don't you worry about me, none. I'll be just fine. When my time comes, I'll just go to the emergency room, 'cause it's against the law to turn me away." Her voice quivered. "If I get there in time."
Tears streamed down her tragic little face. She braced her arms against the counter.
"Guess my poor little old baby is kind of like that sweet little old kitty cat out there, born to come sneaking out of shadows and never have a name or a place."
Shocked, Teresa froze when she saw the quick look of righteous indignation in Rock's eyes. By God, the little slut was good. She'd give her that. But Teresa hadn't gotten to where she was today without knowing a few things herself. She was going to put a stop to this.
"Can't do nothing about those old mean old doctors," Lizzie whispered softly. "Can't do nothing much to help my poor little baby have a place or a real home. But I can do something about one thing. I can give that poor little old kitty cat a name. Gonna name her after me. Gonna name her Kitty Noel."
Her breast heaved like she was practicing being brave, like the cat was some kind of dress rehearsal for the coming baby.
"Oh, man," Rock said. "God, Lizzie, there ought to be some way for you to get decent help."
"Now don't you go fretting over me, none. Granny Tessie isn't about to toss me out in the snow. And you've been, well, I don't know what I'd do without you. If the baby's father was, well, I'd want him to be just like you. Exactly like you. Strong and decent."
Appalled, Teresa listened like she was a visitor in her own place. It had been a full 3 minutes since she had been included in the conversation, and in that time, the wicked little whore had established Teresa as the grandmother in Rock's mind, and him as the baby's substitute father.
"In fact, me and Kitty Noel was going to ask you," she said, coy as a young tiger. "Kitty Noel and I want you to be the godfather
to our little baby. Rock looked at her steadily, his eyes moist, his voice low, low like the faint rumble of distant thunder. His face glowed. I'd be plumb proud. I ain't no prize, Rizzy, but I'll do my best. Teresa closed her eyes and turned away. No, a doctor, Teresa announced, her voice hard. She had just scrubbed the floor and her back ached from being on their feet all day. Lizzie sprawled in the only recliner, thumbing the remote, scattering popcorn over the rug. Deaf as a post, Lizzie continued to stare at the TV. Furious, Teresa walked over and snapped it off. I said, I know a doctor.
Say what?
You know what, Teresa said, her arms folded over her chest to keep from slapping her. A doctor who will get rid of the baby. Lizzie looked at her in disbelief. I'll pay, said Teresa. He's clean and he keeps his mouth shut. Lizzie started to laugh.
Well, this is just too much.
Then she couldn't stop laughing.
Why, you dumb old whore. Who would have thought?
Thought what? Teresa asked stupidly. Women got rid of babies all the time, especially working girls. Then her heart plummeted as she realized Lizzie had called her an old whore. How had she known? Was it a lucky guess? Had one of the other lot lizards said something? Dear God, she thought, Rock must never, never know. He was ignoring Lizzie's past because of the baby. He would never give her the same break.
Thought what? Teresa repeated. But Lizzie just kept on laughing and picked up the remote and flicked the TV back on.
Then she knew. Knew in her bones. There wasn't a baby. Lizzie had taken her and Rock for first-class fools, which they were. This changed everything. She stumbled out of the room. She had to think. The next day, Teresa sent Lizzie out with a little saucer of milk for Kitty Noel. She stared bleakly out the window and watched her squat down and call the cat. There was little love in her voice. The cat rushed to the saucer, but teasingly, Lizzie Noel pushed her away. Enjoying the cat's confusion, Lizzie batted at her head over and over again while pulling the saucer out of reach. The little cat hissed, then scratched her arm, leaving a long gash. Lizzie swore, set down the saucer, walked across the street, and disappeared into the drover's dream. She came back out with a quart of antifreeze. She towed the cat aside, opened the can, then poured some of the red tint contents into the milk saucer. Teresa's stomach lurched as she watched the tiny cat lap up the milk. It was doomed, and there was nothing she could do. Kitty Noel died an agonizing death within the hour. Lizzie greeted Brock with wild tears, holding the stiff, swollen body of Kitty Noel.
Someone poisoned her. Killed her, our own precious little itty-bitty kitty cat, what never did nothing to nobody, and my baby. How can I bring my baby into the cold, cruel world without anybody to take care of us? Oh, see what happens to little bitty orphan kitty cats.
Well, Jesus H. Christ, thought Teresa, stifling her protest, because after all, the woman had referred to her as an old whore, and she was stricken at the thought of Lizzie passing that little tidbit on to Rock. Lizzie sobbed and sobbed against Rock's massive chest, and he stroked her back, then tenderly walked her inside. His face was white with despair. Teresa watched, careful to keep her growing fury off her face. She was outfoxed and outconned. Rock cradled Lizzie against his chest.
Oh, shoo, it's okay, honey. You've got to think about the baby. Don't let yourself get so worked up. It's not good for the baby.
I don't know what I'd do without you.
her sobs subside. Shh, now. He gently tipped her little pointer chin and looked into her eyes. Hush, now. You know what I think would make us all feel better? No, what? If we gave Quitting O'Hare a proper burial right here with the folks she loved.
Oh, that's wonderful, sobbed Lizzie.
Yes, wonderful, said Teresa dryly. We'll put her out back under my weeping willow where the ground is kind of soft.
We don't have anything to put her in, Lizzie said. Wish I had a nice little box or something.
I have a real nice scarf, said Teresa. My mother embroidered it just for me, multicolored crewel work. In fact, she'd bought it when the Woolworth store went out of business, and the only thing her mother had ever made for her was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But by God, she could batch the little floozy, lie for lie.
Wouldn't be the same as a nice cedar box. Lizzie dabbed at her eyes. A nice little box would be just about perfect. Just perfect.
I'll get a shovel, Teresa said coldly. They clustered around the weeping willow, and Rock quickly spaded the hole, and then tenderly laid the velvet-wrapped Kitty Noel into the grave. They stood awkwardly for a moment. Then Rock began to murmur the words to the 23rd Psalm. He asked them to bow their heads for a little prayer. He told God he knew their Maker cared for all little things, all little creatures.
I'm just sorry we didn't have your little box, sweetie, Rock said as they left.
Teresa trembled at the sweetie. He was back 3 days later, and Teresa watched Lizzie Noel and Rock walk across the parking lot. Arm in arm, they came inside. Arm in arm, despite the difference in age.
We've got something to tell you, Lizzie said.
Been thinking about it for a while, Rock said.
Want you to be the first to know, Lizzie beamed.
Seeing's how you're our one and only mutual friend, Rock said.
Teresa's ears rang. She knew what was coming. Blood pounded in her head.
She's right, you know, Rock said softly. Her little baby isn't going to stand a chance. Kitty Noel proved that. Can't believe she's going to have an old geezer like me, but Miss Lizzie Noel has agreed to marry me, and I'm going to give that little feller a name.
And we want you to be our maid of honor, Granny Tessie.
Lizzie's eyes shone with gleeful malice. Teresa felt like slapping her into kingdom come. Charge Rock like a mad sow, throw hot coffee into both their faces. But all she said was, I think I'll buy a new dress for the joyful occasion.
And as his wife, the company will pay for my health insurance, crowed Lizzie, and life insurance. If anything ever happens to my man here, I'll be taken care of, and my little he-man isn't going to want for a thing.
Speechless, Teresa could only nod. She stared at the dirty dishes she hadn't cleared, the cheap tip, a lousy dollar shoved under the plate. The heavy odor of bacon and eggs filled the diner. The taste of old coffee, bitter as bile, filled her mouth. She knew just like she had before when she knew there was no baby. The life insurance policy. Rod DeKalb, her rock, her love, was a dead man. She didn't dare let Lizzie see her eyes. Gotta go make out a check for the bread delivery guy, said Teresa, as she hurried back to her living quarters. All the next week, Teresa cleaned and brooded and cleaned and thought and cleaned and tested out ideas. Call the law and tell them what? That she was afraid of what Lizzie might do? She could just imagine that conversation. Had there been threats? No. Tell Rock? She already knew how that would go. Lizzie would say she was jealous and expose her past. Slowly, Teresa realized there was only one way to save Rock, and she would have to be the one to do it. Poison was Lizzie's preferred method? Very well. Poison it would be. It wouldn't be a bit hard, considering that the woman was always half-stoned anyway. Teresa had it all on hand, insecticides and antifreeze, she thought bitterly, a nearly full bottle of antifreeze. Swaying with self-loathing, Teresa clung to the doorway and stared at the woman who was making her a murderess. Lizzie was passed out in the recliner. She had taken to wearing maternity smocks and pants with stretchy front panels during the evenings when Rock came through. She added an increasing amount of padding to her stomach. Other nights, Lizzie changed to pink sequined hot pants, wide belts, and skimpy little tank top, and slipped across the street to where the action was. Sickened, Teresa went back into the cafe. Murder. Was she actually considering murder? The body. She would have to do something with the body. But what better spot than a fresh grave, right under the weeping willow with Kitty Noel? Hollow it deeper, wrap Lizzie in plastic, and dump it in a little line. Each problem solved made Teresa feel worse, not better, like she was on a forced march and each step was heading toward cliff. No problem coming up with the story to tell Rock. That would be easy. Poor old sucker already felt he was unworthy. Wouldn't be hard to convince him Libby had run off with someone else. Teresa pressed her hands against her throbbing temples. Her eyes were red from lack of sleep, her chest tight with the stare of planning, going over details. Tomorrow night, she decided, she'd put it off long enough. Rock wouldn't be coming through for 3 more days, and after Lizzie finished prowling, she would be plastered just enough not to give a damn. All down to the last detail. She deepened Kitty Noel's grave and added a leaf of concoction to Lizzie's vodka mix. Past twilight now. Bad time of day. Misery snuck up on a body. Supper crowd cleared out. Just occasional truck drivers coming through. Teresa's hand trembled as she gripped a cup of coffee and stared at Lizzie climbing into a garage hauler's truck parked at the drover's dream. The outer screen door slammed. She turned. Rock came through the door. He held a finger to his lips. "She ain't back?" "A surprise," he whispered. He held out a tiny little pair of cowboy boots. "For the baby." Teresa shook her head. She couldn't find her voice. "Across the street," she managed finally. "She's across the street." Stunned, Rock dropped the box and bolted out the door. Teresa could see him under the lights, watching, as Lizzie Noel clambered down out of the truck, Johnny and flat-stomached. Her pink sequined hot pants rainbowed the flashing neon sign. The little floozy turned and saw a Rock standing motionless, his arms dangling helplessly. Time froze. Then little Lizzie Noel gave him the finger. Rock left in a grind of gears. Teresa picked up the little shoes and collected Lizzie's belongings and threw them into the dumpster. Then she burst into grateful tears. It was over. She would never have to look at Lizzie Noel again. It would take a while, but Teresa knew Rock would be back. Hers again. Hundreds of crying songs, thousands of miles of highway, millions of unshed tears. But he would be back.
Lizzie Noel is copyrighted by Charlotte Hinger. Mixing and editing for this podcast were done by Kevin Wheeler and Jackie Sherbo. Music for the podcast was obtained from purpleplanet.com. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at www.ellerycueenmysterymagazine.com.